Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. When you're young, you don't think that old people have or enjoy sex. Getting older doesn't mean giving up on sex, and sex in later life doesn't need to be different from when you were younger. Many older people enjoy an active sex life, and why not? Although when you're young, the thought of your parents or your grandparents at it like rabbits and going for it hammer and tongue is probably enough to turn your stomach. It was mine. Recent research suggests that the over 65s feel awkward about talking about sex, which is causing an increase in sexually transmitted diseases within this age group. I caught up with Peter Saddington, who's a counsellor from the charity Relate, earlier in the week to talk about this, but I wanted to know first of all about the work of the charity Relate and what he does.
Relate's an organisation that has been around for a long period of time, more than 60 years. Started out originally as Marriage Guidance and changed its name to Relate back in the 60s. And we are a service that offers relationship counselling and therapy for individuals, couples, families and young people. But we also offer sex therapy as well. And that's my background. I'm a therapist working with couples and individuals and families, and I'm also a sex therapist.
Now, a lot of people who work with Relate are volunteers. Is your role a salaried role, or are you one of their many, many erstwhile volunteers?
For the first 5 years of my time working at Relate, I was a volunteer and did all my hours for nothing. But since then, I've been salaried. So, yeah, I get paid now for my time. Not at the same rate as I would do if I was working for the NHS or another organisation. So, In a sense, I still don't get paid in the same way. But I do it because I believe in the work that Relate does.
This campaign from Relate that's called Let's Talk About the Joy of Later Life Sex, what's that all about?
It's something that we've been involved in now for a year or more. It started off with Ogilvy, an organisation that did us some really fabulous pictures that were on display last year. And now this is the second phase of it, where we're looking at some of the things that older people regaining or having a sexual life in their later years need to take into account. So we're recognizing that, you know, people, older people do enjoy sex, do have sex, and the research showed us that you know, more than half of them say that they're feeling sexually adventurous. So it's clearly something that's important, is good for your physical health and your mental health. But what we've started to realise, and what they've started to realise, because the information from the NHS is saying that older people are starting to get STIs. There's an increase. And that worrying figure is what this part of the campaign is about. It's saying, let's try and break down the taboos about talking about sex and realise it's a really important subject. And part of that subject is to recognise the importance of being aware of STIs, and that if you're going into a relationship, it's important to start using condoms and talk about safety measures. And so that's what this part of the campaign is all about.
And I think from what you've said there, as a nation, we're more liberated with sex now. Years ago, it was always a taboo subject. It was considered dirty by some people. But of course, it's a perfectly natural, you know, body reaction, if you like. And as you say, it's hitting older people. But why are people over a certain age considered past it when it comes to sex? That's what I don't understand.
No, I don't either. But I think that may be just part of something that people have grown up with. You know, the idea that your parents had sex was quite a difficult subject to think about as children or young adults. And, you know, in fairness, we're living longer and healthier lives. And so the concept or the idea that older people are being sexual perhaps is new to these to this generation, that actually sex is something still quite capable of and can enjoy, and realise that that's something that you do want to have.
And of course, you know, sexual intercourse has been around since, well, since time immemorial, really. So it's nothing new. It's just that I think we've swept it under the carpet, haven't we, for many, many years.
Yeah. So we, you know, there's not a lot of publicity. There's not a lot of drama shows. There's not a lot of things talked about older people having sex. And yeah, it is sexual intercourse, but it's any form of sexual play because,
yes,
you know, older people, one of the things that came out of the survey is feeling more adventurous, less inhibited, less worried about what other people think, less worried about body shape and size. And so, you know, starting to realise there are more options sexually than there might have been.
What intrigues me is that older people seem very reticent in talking about sex. And as you've said, you know, condoms, taking precautions, so on and so forth. And my parents, you know, if they were alive today, sadly they're not, but they would be well into their 90s. My dad would nearly be a centenarian. And I think it was just something, you know, when they were growing up that, you know, it was done behind closed doors and never talked about.
And that's so true that for older generations, the idea of talking about sex or sex being something that was talked about by other people or you shared that information really was taboo. It just wasn't done. And it's really newer generations with the, you know, the benefits of the internet and social media where sex is talked about all the time or it's on show all the time or there are stories about it. So it doesn't seem such a difficult thing to talk about, but for older generations, it's not something that you necessarily did before. But I do think, and that's my experience of working with people coming for sex therapy, that older people are quite happy to talk about it if they feel the circumstances are right and if they recognise that you're comfortable to talk about it as well. So part of the reticence is maybe thinking the other person won't be responsive or might make a judgment or not be happy to talk about the subject.
And when people come to your sessions and they talk about it, how does it make them feel afterwards? I mean, what sort of feedback do you get from them?
Mostly, you get the occasional, that was a bit close to the bone, but mostly what you get is it's really good to be able to talk about it and to get some reassurance and to understand what I can do and what things are going to work and to realise it felt really good just being able to talk about the subject today and realise it was an okay thing to do, that you were okay with it too.
I think it's also intriguing that only one-fifth of Brits think society is okay about talking about sex and intimacy in people aged over 60. And again, I think this is down to what you were saying a moment ago in the fact that there, or I was saying as well, that there is this stigma behind it. And this is where these sessions of yours come in, because it breaks down that barrier. And it's all down to education, isn't it, as well?
It is education and it is publicity. So, you know, like just being on this radio program, the fact that we're talking about it on air and people realize that it's a subject to talk about and it's nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed about is a really positive message to start coming out. Sex education when, you know, when you were a child, if you're in your 60s or 70s, certainly wouldn't have made it a comfortable experience. You know, the teacher was probably more embarrassed than you were, or you didn't necessarily have the developmental level to make sense of it or appreciate what was going on. So starting to talk about it is a natural thing, and you know, part of the campaign that we've got, there will be posters and things out and about. You know, being able to see that and see that it's a normal subject and it's an okay subject will really help to break this down.
I think it's also important to point out that, yes, we're, as you say, people are more liberated, more comfortable about talking about sex and, you know, all sorts of, you know, aspects of it. But it's important to get the message across, surely, that if somebody says no, then it's no. You know, this doesn't give somebody an automatic right to somebody else's body, does it?
No, and that's what the campaign's, you know, the whole thing about sex is being able to talk comfortably about it. And so that's talking about what you're worried about, what you enjoy, what you don't want, what you do want, and even to recognise that you don't have to be sexual. You know, it's all about choices, but you can't make choices unless you've got informed information. So if you've got all the information, then you can make a proper choice. And that's what this campaign's about, giving you all the information so you can make proper choices.
Now, there's a growing number of cases of STIs, as you've been saying, in people over 65, according to Public Health England. What do you think is causing this? Is this down to a lack of education, or are people just being, you know, sort of too carefree, if you like?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, talking to people in the room, so my own personal experience, is the sense that when they're going on dates or getting involved in, you know, dating agencies, there's quite a pressure right from the word go to be sexual. It's almost because you haven't got the same worries that you might have had when you were younger, and you've got more freedom. It's almost like there's a pressure to be sexual much earlier. And so I think the experience is that people are being a bit more adventurous and having more than one partner going in and trying things. And as a consequence, because of a lack of knowledge or experience, not recognizing that that comes with a risk. As a teenager, as part of the sex education, that's one of the things talked about, that if you're, you know, going to be going and having sex with more than one person, you know, there's a risk of an STI. I think older people are just not used to the idea that STIs are going to be something that they're susceptible to as well.
Can you give me some examples then, Peter, of some STIs? Can you name some? And if we contracted one of them, how would we know?
Okay, the most obvious thing to think about is if you notice that your genitals, be you man or woman, that you're starting to feel itchy or sore, or you've got a discharge, or it's uncomfortable, then the first thing you need to think about doing is either going to the GP or to the gum clinic, because they're the ones that are going to be able to give you the examination and to check and give you the appropriate support. The ones that are on the increase, it's the whole range. So chlamydia is particularly important to start thinking about as the most obvious one that's coming up. But, you know, so are all the other ones that you can start thinking about. So, you know, it's the whole range of STIs. And I think one of the ones that causes the most distress is herpes, starting to realize that you can get herpes and you can get warts. You know, because it's the thought that if you're going to be sexual in the future, that, you know, your partner will know, that you've got to talk about it. You've got to let them know. It was a big campaign, you know, probably in most people's lives, of HIV and the talk about, you know, thinking about wearing condoms and taking safety. But that's past, and people aren't thinking about safety from that perspective.
62% of Brits consider themselves to be sexually adventurous, despite 52% admitting to not buying a condom in the past year. Yep. How are you engaging and reaching out with those people? Because they are very clearly in need of more education, aren't they?
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, like today, talking on your programme is starting to raise people's awareness. And what's going to start happening, because it's Gardening Week, starting on the 6th of May. And one of the things that we've been involved with on the campaign is designing some posters that are going to be out for people to look out for. So when you go to garden centres, I have to say it's not going to be all garden centres, but in a lot of garden centres, you'll start seeing the posters that talk about, you know, fruit and veg, and start linking the idea of sex being associated with it and the need for wearing condoms. And in the seed aisles, there are little look like seed packets with condoms in it's clearly displayed, and they're talking about, you know, getting condoms, or through the campaign you can make contact with Relate and get a free condom sent to you to start using.
Now, this is where the theme around the Horny Cultural Society, which I think is a exactly. Really good play on name, good play on words there. How successful has that been so far?
Well, it's only just starting, and so that's why we're talking about it now. But when we did the survey, you know, clearly we talked to this generation in looking at the posters and talking about it. It was seen as a bit tongue-in-cheek, amusing, but also really down-to-earth and quite fun. So the posters themselves, which I think are about five or six, I mean, there's one with showing an aubergine, there's plums, courgettes, avocados, onions, all the things that are on the condoms themselves. But it talks about the fruit or the vegetable and starts talking about horticulture and the fact that how to sow them, the next steps, handy tips, which are all linked to the sexual aspect to it as well. So it's almost by innuendo. There's a sense of sex being perfectly natural, healthy, good for you, and how to develop it. And it incorporates the idea that there are risks, just like in horticulture. You take risks, precautions against pests and diseases. Mm-hmm. It's saying the same thing, that wear a condom and protect yourself.
And people respond to innuendo. I think, there's a lot of us that are still, children at heart and still find that quite amusing. But I think if that gets the message across, then it's doing its job.
Absolutely it is. And, the whole thing is just getting people talking and being comfortable to talk. So even if it's, you're in the garden centre and you see the poster and you talk to your friends or you talk to somebody else, you're just breaking down the barrier of realising it's an okay thing to talk about.
What would be your top five tips then, Peter, for us to keep ourselves safe when meeting people and sort of engaging in sexual activities?
So I think the first one I would say is stay safe. And that means, like you were talking about earlier, making it clear what you're okay with and what you're not okay with. So I think before you start meeting people, is work out in your own mind what feels okay so that you don't feel pressurized into being sexual before you're ready or if you want to be sexual. Secondly, recognize that talking about what you're comfortable with and about what you've perhaps experienced or what's important to you is good. Recognizing that you've got personal responsibility, so you might carry the condom, whether you're male or female, so that if the opportunity to become sexual happens, you're prepared, you've got something. Mm-hmm. And start talking about, the idea that you're comfortable, if you are being sexual, about what works for you. Because as you get older, there are things to take into account. If you're a woman, it's about lubrication and feeling comfortable. If you're a man, it might well be thinking about how firm or how reliable is your erection. So it's be prepared. Do the things that you need to do. And if you want some help or advice or support, there is the GP, or you can use an organisation, a charity like Relate, that does have sex therapy, where you can talk through before you start becoming involved so that you're better prepared if you think there are things that you don't know that might be helpful.
Should things not go well and we feel as a result of any sort of sexual activity as sexually violated, what should we do?
Well, that's a very obvious one, and that's about as a campaign for everybody, though it doesn't highlight older people by course. But I mean, the first thing you need to do is get support, and that's your GP and or the police, because things like that have to be treated seriously. Nobody has the right to do things to you that you don't want, and everybody has the right to get the support and the advice and whatever it is they need in those moments.
Where can we find out more information then, Peter?
So particularly linked to this campaign, Relate's a national organisation, and they've got a really good website. So it's relate.org.uk, and that has articles and information about relationships and sex. And if you want to get a free condom, see what they're like, perhaps try out a condom for the first time for a long time, then you can get a free one sent to you if you register onto the relate.org.uk website. And there's a specific link which you'll see at the top to the Horny campaign where you can get a free condom sent to you.
But above all, the overriding thing here is to be safe throughout.
Yep, both physically and emotionally.
Peter Saddington from Relate, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode.
You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.